It's a pleasure to be here with you this Sabbath day and be here for the next few days sharing God's Word. I know some people are always curious, you know, why I walk around with a crutch. I had knee reconstruction in December, so I'm in the rehab process. I thought I was going to be able to walk by now without them, but, you know, rehab can get interesting and painful and all that good stuff. And the Lord's teaching me patience, so I got to wait a little bit longer. So that's why I have this crutch. So in case I get too excited and you see that the crutch falls, and it happens a lot when I'm preaching, don't worry, I'll pick it up eventually, okay? All right. This morning, I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Are you there? Mark chapter 10. Are you guys there? Yes? Let us pray. Father in heaven, this moment, Lord, we have our Bibles open. And we just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit may speak to us this morning, Lord. Father, that they may not hear my voice, but hear your voice, Lord. And that we can take the time to turn our lives around and follow Jesus. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to about 22. The Bible says, "And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher,'" you guys know the verse, right? What was the question? Good teacher, what? "Mom, what must I do to what? To inherit eternal life." You know, if we're honest with ourselves, isn't that our question every single day of our lives? Like, why do you even come to church? Why do we even follow Christ? Or why are we believers? We're all having a hope of one day living with God for eternity. Do you agree? How many have the hope of one day living in heaven? Let me see your hands. Amen? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have the hope of one day living with God in heaven? Yes? Yes? I'm going to ask you again, are you sure that you want to live God for eternity in heaven? Are you sure? Before you raise your hands, you have to be sure now. Yes? Yes. That is the pressing question of mankind, isn't it? I have this desire to be with God, and we have this young man. You know, if you read Matthew calls him one thing and Luke calls him another. So the name that he's known by is the rich young ruler. That's his name. The rich young ruler. And he runs up to Jesus and he asks him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" You guys know the answer, right? Verse 18 says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except who? God alone." I'm sure Pastor Josh already preached something like this, you know. In order for him, the question that Jesus was asking was like, are you sure you're talking to the right person? Are you sure that I am God to you? Let me ask you a question. Did you come to this church today because you believe Jesus Christ is God, yes or no? Yes. Good, we're getting somewhere. I like you guys. Verse 19, Jesus goes on to say, "You know the commandments." Do you know the commandments? Yes, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And verse 20 said, and he said what? What did he say? Oh, I do all these things. I do all these things. You know, it's interesting, as Christians or believers, we all have a similar attitude sometimes, don't we? It's like, God, yeah, I am doing everything that the law of God is requiring me to do. So therefore, I am almost sure that I'm going to inherit the kingdom of God. The young man, Jesus, and I love verse 20, verse 21. And Jesus, looking at him, what does it say? What did Jesus do? He looked at them and did what? Loved them. I am convinced that the reason why you're here today, the reason why I'm here today, and the reason why I'm going to be here tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday is because Christ loves you. Amen? And I want to challenge you right now, church. You know, we talked about in the Sabbath school lesson about persecution and all that stuff. And I'm pretty sure that the next 4 days, the devil's going to do everything in his power to discourage you from being here these next 4 days from hearing these messages. You know, I often wonder, God, why am I the one chosen to go present a certain message in a certain place at a certain time? Why me? You know, when I had my surgery in December, I'm going to share a little secret about my surgery with you guys, okay? The plan was that I was going to have total knee reconstruction, okay? That was the plan. I mean, replacement, sorry. Thank you, honey. See, that's why you need your wife, right? Amen? Yeah, she always gets things right. I'm always close, right? Thank you, Russ. I love your encouragement. I was supposed to have total knee replacement. Oscar, cuando hablo en inglés, me voy al español y se me olvida todo, right? Man, when I gotta preach in English, my Spanish kicks in and it's just like, get confused. Making a long story short, I was born with some form of this deformity on my knee. And I told you guys this about 2 years ago, if you remember when I came, if you're still here. It turns out that we figured out that I was born without an ACL. So the plan was, the doctor thought that the best thing to do was to do a total knee reconstruction, because the MRI that we did on the knee never showed any meniscus, any ACL, any PCL, and all the L's that you have in there, you know? So he said, well, the best thing to do is just to do a knee replacement. So a 3-hour surgery turned into a 5-hour surgery. And when I wake up, he said, Smith, I'm so small, so sorry. I didn't replace your knee. I'm like, then what did you do? Because I'm in pain right now. Well, I totally reconstructed your knee is what he said. It's like, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And you know, although I was mad at God in the moment, now I understand why. Because if I would have had knee replacement surgery, my recovery would have been much faster. And I guarantee you that by the time that Pastor Josh and I talked for me to come here, I would probably not be available to come this weekend. That's why I'm telling you, because in his love, when Christ looks at you in his love, he has set everything divinely that this situation, this moment that we have here, has been planned by God himself. I do not think that is a coincidence that Pastor Josh Majors is being ordained today, and some of the family members are here either as well. And when the rich young ruler told Jesus, listen, I've been keeping all these commandments. I've been living the life. I've been going to church. I've been giving my tithe. And by the way, I keep the Sabbath, Jesus. You know that, because I'm a Jew. I've been doing everything right. And the Bible says that Jesus, what does it say? And Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, you lack one thing. Have you guys read that verse? Now, somebody help me out. You know, I grew up in New York City, so I learned Spanish at home, and I learned English on the streets, and I always had a C in English and in reading, and my grammar and all that wasn't that strong, and I'm kind of confused here, because it says, you lack one thing, but Jesus tells him two things in the verse. Right? What is happening here? Have you guys analyzed this verse? Jesus says, you're lacking one thing, but I see that he talks about two things. What is he talking about? The verse says, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor. And you will have what? It says, treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Verse 22, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had what? Great possessions. You know, obviously, the way that this young man was living his life, he was living his life to store possessions on this earth. And Jesus tries to refocus him and says, listen, everything that you're doing is just a waste of time. What you should be spending your time on is storing treasures where? In heaven. Now, I heard someone once preached, and I guess if you read into the verses later on, it could give that indication that someone with money, it makes it very difficult for them to inherit the kingdom of heaven, right? I heard one guy once said, listen, we all need to be poor so we can be saved. And that's not necessarily what the text is teaching, because possessions could be different things to each and every one of us. And you know what's one possession that we all cherish and take care of that we don't manage properly? Pastor, you can't say go on, you know, because then we get in trouble. Do you know what possession it is that we treasure, that we have, and we treasure that we don't manage carefully? You know what this, what's that called? Time. Time. You know, as a pastor, and I think, you know, I'm grateful for these little things, and I have here a calendar here, and every Monday, I sit down and I open it, and I just look at the week, and I'm always like, Lord, have mercy. It's like I need more time, right? When it's not a board meeting, when it's not leading a situation, when it's not sermon prep, there's always something, right? And you know that I have found myself too busy to follow Jesus. Man, I need to be careful. Sometimes I found myself too busy to have time and spend time with Jesus. You know, the rich young ruler, when he came up and ran and fell to the feet of Jesus, he said, Lord, I've been living and keeping everything that you have taught me. And Jesus clearly says, listen, you're missing one thing. You need to get rid of what you consider a possession, and you need to do what? Come and what? Follow me. Now, let me illustrate what's going on in this scenario here with the rich young ruler, because I'm a visual person. I know some of you are. And I'm going to ask Pastor Josh to help me real quick. Pastor Josh, can you come up here for a minute? Can you grab me that thing back there? I know some of you are towards the back, so I'm going to try to describe what we have here. Over here, I have, let me hold it up first and just stay right there so you can help me. I have, you guys know what this is? It's a dartboard. You guys see it? It's a dartboard. And I purposely placed, whoa, my balance. Okay, I got you. Don't worry. I purposely placed, that was a bad poke by the, so I purposely placed, I have 6 darts. If you guys can see over there, has any of the darts hit the mark? Are they close? From a distance, does it look like it's almost at the middle? Yes. But did it hit the mark? Yes or no? No. You know, the rich young ruler, he showed up with his life. Showed up with his life this close. And he gets to Jesus. And Jesus says, yeah, you've been kind of close. But you're still missing what? Missing the mark. All right, let's try something here. You know, Pastor Josh, don't get in the way, okay? Stand to a side. Yeah, I don't want him to be the point, right? You know, the goal of this game is for what? Hit the bullseye, right? And I want to consider myself a pretty decent athlete. Part of the reason why my knee was all messed up was because I played baseball for a long time. I was a catcher. So I had the ability to throw from one knee to second base in a few seconds. So I want to think I got a pretty good arm. And I'm going to try here to hit the mark, okay? I mean, I'm a guy. And us guys, you know, just give me the darts, open the box, I can do it, right? Right? It's like we're confident, right? So I'm going to try. So I'm going to stand right here, and I'm going to aim. And I'm going to see if I can aim this and hit the... Ooh. Why you guys are laughing? It's so mean, right? Like you're laughing at my failures already. Let me try again. Try again. Ooh. I hit one board. It was the wrong board. I had to get to the bullseye, right? Right in the middle. I am right in the middle. I know what it is. I can tell you what it is. This suit. I got to get this suit off, you know? This suit is uncomfortable. This thing is just making my arms too tight, all right? And I guarantee you that if I remove this suit, I'll get closer to the board, okay? Let's try again. We'll see. Okay, I hit the board. Okay, we're getting somewhere. Ooh, that was pretty close. Oh, we go back again. Can you pick up the 6 for me, please, Pastor Josh? Thanks. Pick up all of them. You know, the point is that in our spiritual lives, you know, we all know that the key point in order for us to inherit eternal life is for us not to miss the mark. As a matter of fact, when we talk about the word sin, when it says that someone is a sinner, the word sin in its Greek word means that someone that's just missing the mark. You're totally missing it. And sometimes we try, and listen, I can bring up my sleeve. I can keep on finding excuses and reasons why I'm not hitting the dart. And did I get close? Man, that was the first time in the time I've used this illustration that's happened, huh? To be honest. So I'm getting somewhere. Getting close. But my closeness sometimes is not enough. Now, if I consider to make some confessions here, I'm not a dart player. Okay? As a matter of fact, one day I was prepping for the sermon a few months ago, and the one thing that came to my mind to illustrate how we missed the mark was a dart. And you know, me being a typical guy, my wife can tell you that I opened up the box, and the first day I threw a dart was when I preached this sermon similarly last week in Austin. So I started throwing darts. And I've realized that I've been trying to hit the mark, I'm playing darts, but I keep missing. Do you know why? You guys know why I keep missing the mark? I don't know anything about darts. What is the one thing I skipped and jumped? The instruction. Who said instructions? There you go. Directions. Instructions. Okay, good. I never read the instructions. And you know, I got home the other day, and I was searching for the box everywhere. I had no idea where I put the box. And I found the instruction. You know, it was yesterday I was talking to Pastor Josh. I'm like, Josh, where's the instructions to the dart set? Don't say that. No? Okay. So where's the instructions to the darts? He said, well, the box is here. What instructions? Who knows where the instructions went? It turns out that when I was reading the instructions say that this needs to be at about 5'8 in height. Okay, that's the proper measurement. And you need to be about it's 4 or 5. It's about 4 feet away. That's what it says you need to be at in order for you to shoot darts. And the other thing is that you can shoot darts. Can you make some measurements for me, Pastor John? He has a tape measure here. I want to illustrate you this. Just measure where I'm supposed to be standing according to the instructions that I read. I don't know. Let's go with 4 probably. So I probably read it wrong, but it's right there. Okay, no, it's probably 6 then. I am. Okay, right here. Okay. Perfect. Right here. And the instruction said that you just don't throw straight. You got to turn your feet one way, tilt your body, and then aim, try to hit the bullseye. Okay? That's what the instructions say. When I read this, I'm like, really? I thought you should stand there and just throw stuff. Those specific instructions. And then if I do it correctly, I'm still doing it wrong, but that's okay. Illustration purposes. Getting close. Ooh. Ooh. I did. Hit it. Yeah, now. The point of this illustration is, people, that sometimes, thank you, Pastor Josh, you know, we want to reach and inherit eternal life many times by our own strength, by our own ideas, by our own likening, and we do not read the instruction manual. You guys know what the instruction manual is? For eternal life is the Bible. And listen, and many of us will read the Bible, okay, because as a church pastor, one thing that I keep learning is that since I'm so young, a lot of people are older than me, a lot of you know a lot about the Bible. You know that? You know a lot. But sometimes knowing a lot about the Bible is not going to get you into heaven. Did you know that? Listen, when Jesus talked to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Essenes, these people lived and breathed Bible. And they were constantly missing what? Missing the mark. Missing the mark. The one thing that this man, this young man missed, the main mark. And if you go back, read the context. It says in verse 22, it says, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Listen, people. This guy had a time, a perfect time to turn his life around. He was in the very presence of Jesus himself. I've heard people tell me, if Jesus was here, I will make the decision and follow him. No, you wouldn't. You're a liar. Because if Jesus was here himself in person, you will find a reason to turn away. Because what you don't practice and believe and live now, there's no way you're going to do it later on. And let me tell you something, church, and I don't know if you realize this. When Jesus comes back for the second time, he's not coming back to transform anybody. Did you know that? What does the Bible teach us about his second coming? What is he going to do? You're going to have your reward with you. And Paul writes in Thessalonians that in a blink of an eye, what's going to happen? The dead in Christ will what? Will rise, and those who are alive will be what? Will be caught up. What's the word caught up means? You're all going to gather together and meet Christ where? In the sky. The only thing that's going to be transformed is your mortal flesh, our mortal bodies, into what? To immortal. In order for us to withstand what? The presence of God. That's God's mercy and grace right there, huh? Because if he doesn't change this, when he comes and we're in front of him, you're going to die all over again. That is the only transformation that's going to happen. But in order for us to get to that point, we need to be working on something right now. Do you guys know what that is? What are we working on? Your character, your relationship with who? With Jesus Christ. And the rich young ruler here. And folks, when I read this, I tremble. You know why I tremble? Because he recognized, number one, who Jesus was. In order, the words good teacher, he was implying, yeah, you're a good teacher, and I think you're more than that, because everything that I've seen so far tells me that you aren't God sent. Number two, the other thing that makes me afraid is that I can practice religion and still be missing what? The mark. And when Jesus gives us an invitation, do you know what we do sometimes? We completely miss the point. Because do you know what do you guys realize with what Jesus finishes with in verse 21? What does he finishes with? Read it. Somebody tell me. What does he finishes with? I want you to read it. What does he finish with? Come and do what? And follow me. So if Jesus left that to the end, what was more important? To sell his possessions or to follow Jesus? Follow Jesus. And many of us fail to realize that when Christ is calling you, when Christ is giving you the time and opportunity to follow him, we miss the mark, we miss the point, because we don't understand what God is asking from us. You know, I think I shared with you last time when I was here, when God called me to be a pastor, I delayed my calling for almost 10 years. There was no way on God's green earth that I was going to be a pastor. I grew up in New York City. The pastors that I saw over there were broke, drove beat up cars. It was just terrible, their appearance, you know? And I was like, no. Besides, I stutter. In high school, I unfortunately went through high school in the time where grades weren't important. You know, in my high school, as long as you showed up to class and were there present, they would just pass you with a C. So when I got to college, I struggled a lot because I had to relearn all the basic stuff. And I'm like, Lord, you know, I just can't talk. I had a physical ailment that I've been dealing with my whole life, and I never seen someone look so imperfect as I am. I come from a home that suffered A bunch of things. There's no way that you can want me and use me. And you know, at 25 was when I realized and I understood something. That when Christ invites you to come and hit the mark, I do not do that alone. What am I talking about? Go with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have what? All have sinned. And what does the Bible, verse 23 says? All have sinned and fall short of what? Of the glory of God. Uh-oh. We're in trouble here. If you study Romans 1 and 2, you know that Romans chapter 1 is talking about all the sinful people that are in the world, okay? That's what Romans 1 is all about. I mean, there's a long list of people that are non-followers of Christ that they call that those that do those things. And it's interesting, when you study Romans 1 and 2, the Jews that were listening to Paul speak were already happy. Yeah, those are the ones that are going to go straight to hell. And then Romans 2 turns from the outside into where? Into the church, into the believers. And in verse 23, Paul is saying, listen, for all, when the word all, what's the word all mean? Everybody. In Greek, the word all is allos, which means everyone of the same kind. Okay? It says that all of us, all humans, we're all of one kind. You know what kind that is? Sinners, and we fall short of what? Of the glory of God. Falling short means exactly that. I know that the bullseye is right here. I mean, I can see it. I mean, I can smell it. I've been so close, you know? Mercy, Oscar. Tan cerca. So close, man. But the rule says I got to stay here. I wish I can get closer. And listen, and even if I create my own rules, can I try that real quick? Can I create my own rules? Man, this is going to be fun. Russ, I think I'm going to be able to hit the bullseye if I create my own rule. Watch this. Pastor Josh, this is so exciting. I get to recreate my own rules. And look, I'm deciding that I'm going to hit the bullseye. And those of you over here, just follow along. I'm going to get this close and hit the bullseye, okay? Man, I'm just excited right now. Let me see. Amen. Thank you for the faith, sister. Man, I gotta try to. I get closer. Okay, I'll give up. The point is, even if I create, I never give up. I know that, right? Never give up. The point is that even if I write my own rules, even if I get as close as I can, there's obviously something in my mechanics of what I'm doing that is not letting me hit the mark. Look how close I got. At least I got it into the green part, that side. And I shot about 8 or 9 times. And I was close, but I was still missing the what? The bullseye, the mark. And that's what Romans 3:23 says. Listen, because we're sinners, we fall short of the glory of God. But I love verse 24. I love continuation. Now that I understand grammar and all stuff, I love commas. Mercy, I can't believe I just said that. Because it gives hope. And it says, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in who? In Christ Jesus. Let me break it down this way. Do you guys know what the word justified means? We'll break it down this way. Josh, can you help me remove one of these things? The dart machine? We're done playing darts now. Thank you. The word justified means this. I'm sitting in a car, and I'm driving down a highway. And I get into an accident that kills someone because I was being neglectful in what I was doing. With me in the car was sitting my dad. And as we get into the accident, the first thing that dad says is, are you okay, son? Like, yeah, dad, I'm okay. But I'm scared. Why are you scared, son? Well, dad, I am scared because I have a warrant out for my arrest. You know, I haven't been good. And the reason why I'm in the car with dad is because I'm going back home. And I'm going to try to turn my life around. But here's this big incident that happens. And I know that the moment that the cops come and they ask for my license and they pull my record, you know what they're going to find? A warrant for my arrest. And on top of that, they're going to add on this situation and the possible death of that individual because it was my fault. And the dad turns to the son and says, you know what, son? Quickly, let's switch seats. And dad goes from his seat, takes my seat, and we just wait there patiently. And when the police come and ask for the license, you know who was in the driver's seat? This is the driver's seat, right? Not there. You know who was in the driver's seat? Dad gives his license. When we talk about justification, justification is not just paying a debt or something that's owed. Justification means that someone took your place when I was considered guilty. And that's what Jesus did in the cross of Calvary. I was supposed to be nailed to the cross, but because he loves us. Have you guys read John 3:16? Do you know how that reads? What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now let me ask you a question. Why did God give Jesus? In order for us to love him, because he already loved us. Because he already loved me, right? And the Father, because he already loves me, he was willing to take my place and take the blame. And although it was my fault, I deserved to go to jail. I deserved to die. I deserved the full penalty for my actions. God gave me a time and a moment when I can turn things around and leave it to surrender at his hands. That's what the word justify means. And you know what I have to do? Is the next word there in Romans 3:24. And are justified by his what it says? Grace. Now in Spanish, it helps a little bit the translation because in Spanish, the word grace is gracia, right? And in Spanish, when you say gracias, then you that's what? Thank you. So you only say gracias in Spanish when what? When you receive something, right? So you say thank you. So when it says that Jesus justified us by his grace, it was something that was done for free. Guys, do you know what that free thing means? That there's nothing that you can do in order to pay it back. We are incapable of paying God back. There is nothing under this earth that you can do that would pay back God for sacrificing his son, shedding his blood for you and I. You know, Rosie and I don't have any kids, so we don't understand too much this parent and child relationship. But those of you that do, can someone repay you back if you sacrifice your child? Listen, when I read the story of Abraham when he had to sacrifice his son, that dude has some incredible faith, huh? You know, in one of my surgeries that I got a staph infection, I was in the hospital. I remember my mom told me, she said, you know, I would have done anything for me to be sitting in that bed in your place right now. That's the love of a father, the love of a mother, correct? Because of that love is why Christ came into the world and paid the penalties for my sins. But look, it doesn't end there. So first of all, I am justified. Then second, I'm justified by his what? By his grace. And you know what the word says afterwards? As a gift through the redemption. Do you guys know what the redemption, the word redemption means? The word redemption means that I am in bondage. I am tied up. I belong to someone else and I need to be set free. And when we are justified by Jesus, when he takes my place and he forgives my sins and he does that for free, he sets me completely free. I am redeemed. And it says that it is through who? What does the verse finish saying? It is through who? Through Jesus Christ. When Christ went to the cross of Calvary, at that right time, the fate of humanity turned around. Because Christ died for those who weren't willing to accept him. Did you know that? Christ died for people that did not want anything to do with him. He even died for people who sometimes don't have time for him as well. And the rich young ruler, his story makes me sad because he missed the mark. And it says that he went away disheartened. The word disheartened in the Greek literally means that he went away brokenhearted when he was in front of Jesus. How on earth can you continue to be brokenhearted if you are in front of Jesus? I don't get it. Why do I still feel brokenhearted and alone? And I claim to be in front of Jesus. That is because I continue to miss the mark. Romans 3:24 says that we are justified by his grace and redeemed through Jesus Christ. Let me illustrate that one more time with my dartboards. Where did they go? Sorry, I am actually going to use it. What the Bible is teaching me is that the only way that I'm going to hit the mark, it is if I let this right arm become the arm of Jesus in my body. And the only way that I'm going to hit the mark, it is if I let Jesus do all the aiming, all the shooting, all the distancing, and let him do everything. And let's say that Jesus is already in my arm, right? Man, I feel overpowered already. And I am, and Jesus is doing all the work. And when I throw my dart and I try to please him, I do it only through Jesus Christ. Church, Christ has given you an opportunity right now to stop on your tracks. Analyze your life where you're at today, now, at this time. And if you're not following Jesus, listen, what breaks my heart about Mark 10 is that this young man missed the opportunity to follow Jesus. It wasn't to follow a religion or anything else. It was to follow Jesus. And when you follow Jesus, then you're able to go into the word and say, listen, because I follow you, I want to make sure that I stay close by you. And that's what his commandment does. His commandments help me to stay close to God. And because I have Jesus, because I have the word, and I'm able to keep walking and following him. And when I am following Jesus, let me tell you something. We always have time for Jesus. There is no way we can continue to preach and say that Jesus is the center of my life when in reality we give him the leftovers. I'll tell you something about leftovers. Pretty interesting. I was originally born in the Dominican Republic. I grew up in New York City. My wife is from Mexican descent, born in Texas. And when we first got married, she cooked rice one day. And I go to the pot, and I'm excited because back home when you cook rice, you go to the pot, and you're waiting for all the rice to disappear, and just keep the what people call disrespectfully the leftover, the burnt part, right? The burnt part. And I go to Rolls Royce. What happened with the rest of the rice, the crispy part? And she said, you mean the burnt stuff? I throw that away. That is gross. I'm like, no way. And she told me that I learned with her that when the rice burns at the end, whatever's leftovers, that just, you throw that away. You know, for me, growing up where I come from, we thought that the leftover was the best, the greatest thing there is. Let me tell you, in Dominican Republic, you can go ask, give me some concon con habichuelas. That's the burnt part of the rice with beans. And it was amazing. We thought that was amazing. Later on, I learned that the leftover rice, the burnt part, is not actually good for you when your stomach and all that stuff. And sometimes spiritually, we think that my leftovers is good enough for the Lord. And this guy in Mark 10 missed the mark because he didn't realize that his leftovers, what he was bringing to God, he thought that that was it. No. People, what this wonderful book teaches me is that my main priority, the first thing on my calendar, the first thing on my time slot, the first thing in my life should be Jesus Christ himself. And tomorrow we're going to talk about the fears that we face when we're turning our lives and giving it to Christ. So don't miss it tomorrow. Then on Monday we're going to talk about after we conquer the fear, then doubt comes in when we're trying to follow Jesus Christ. That's a Monday. And then on Tuesday, we're going to talk about once I face time, I face fear, and I face doubt, then we're going to talk about the rocky relationship that we have with Jesus. So if you miss a day, you might miss the sequence. So I want to invite you and encourage you to come. As we sing, I asked them to, I switched up the song on him a little bit. I want us to sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I want to invite you as he's singing. If you felt that God is asking you to throw out your calendar and make him the center of your life, and you haven't been doing that already, I would invite you where you're at to stand and come forward. I want to pray with you today. Because if we don't make a decision to follow Jesus, to sell what I think is my prized possession, I am in danger of losing the mark and being able to inherit the kingdom of God. So I want to challenge you. And in this challenge, I want you to sing. I want you to pray in your heart. If you want to say, Lord, I am ready not just to follow you, but surrender everything to you. And people, let me tell you something. When I surrender to Christ, look where it led me today. What do I mean by that? In my wildest dreams, I would have ever thought that by me just surrendering my life to God, making him the main point of my agenda of every day, I was going to be preaching at the Arroyo Grande Seventh-day Adventist Church 10 years later. My wildest dreams. And I want you to experience that. Why don't you just follow Jesus and give him a chance to show you what true happiness is. Let us sing. I'd like to come forward. I just want to pray with you. And this prayer is going to consist of, Lord, I've been missing my mark in the way that I've been living my relationship with you. And I want to take the time today to take a step forward and say, Lord, I need you to help me to refocus my course. And I want to move forward being a follower of Jesus and letting him determine what path you need to take to reach the kingdom of heaven. Amen, brother. Amen, sister. Is there anybody else? I just want to come up. I just want to pray. Because I've learned that sometimes we're trying so much to follow Jesus, but we just don't surrender and give him the opportunity to do his thing. And the greatest weapon that we have to combat the devil is prayer. Everybody else come forward. If you just want to say, Lord, I am ready to let you turn my life around. And you are a priority in my life. It's not what I do. It's not what I think. It's following Jesus. I just want to invite you to come forward. I'm going to give you a time. Maybe we can sing one more round of the song and just give some time to come forward. And we'll just have a word of prayer this morning.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, the full in his wonderful faith, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Is there anybody else before we pray? Just come forward. It's just prayer. It's just saying, Lord, I just want to surrender this part of my life that I'm struggling with. And I would like to allow you to be the priority in my life. Just anybody else before we pray, stand up from your seat and come forward. You don't realize how powerful it is when you just get up and move forward. You are doing a physical action. You're saying, Lord, as hard as this is, I want to give it a shot. And it's difficult, but I want to trust in you. Justification, grace, and redemption requires faith, which is total trust in God. Amen. Amen. As I'm praying and you feel that you need to come forward, just come forward and we'll pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, Lord, that this morning it has been open and it has satisfied the hunger of our souls and has satisfied the thirst of our hearts, Lord. And Father, I want to thank you, Lord, because in Scripture we find valuable lessons. And unfortunately, Lord, there was an individual who had a direct encounter with you, the perfect moment, the perfect timing to turn his life around. And he completely missed the mark and completely missed the invitation of following you, Lord. And Father, I know that this whole church, Lord, our desire is to live with you for eternity, Lord. Father, I know that some of us have been trying different techniques, trying different things, doing this and doing that, Lord, by our own merits. But Lord, we have realized by studying the gospel today, Lord, that we all fall short of the glory of God. And Father, this morning, a group of your children, Lord, your sons and daughters have come forward. And you've impressed in their hearts, Lord, and they have realized that, wow, Lord, I keep missing the mark. And Father, my prayer right now is for your Holy Spirit to take control of their lives, Lord. That they may wipe clean, that your Spirit may wipe clean, Lord, the busyness and all the things in life that are preventing us from making time for you, Lord. Father, that we finally hit the mark and understand that if we set aside unimportant things, that if we seek God and his righteousness, everything else will be added unto us, Lord. And Father, as these people that came up, Lord, are making a physical, tangible, straightforward, Lord, decision to come forward, We're asking you to take control of our time, Lord. That you may be the center, the beginning, and the end, Lord, of our days. That as we plan ahead and decide what I'm going to do today, that our lives, Lord, may be centered in worshiping and honoring you. So I pray a special blessing for every individual that came forward, Lord. I pray a blessing for their families. I pray a blessing for the work, for their kids, for their grandchildren, for everything, Lord. That you may remove the barriers, Lord, and that you may open up the roads that may lead to Christ. For my brothers and sisters, Lord, that are the rest of us that are here, Lord, you know their hearts, you know our minds, you know our needs, Lord. I pray that your Spirit may continue to be with us and in us, Lord. That all of us together, one day, when we hear our names, we can say, Lord, we are present and we glorify your name. We have finished the race and we did it through Jesus Christ. Bless the rest of this day. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Happy Sabbath, church. May God bless your eyes on Jesus.